Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be together until 10, as you know. Today is a Monday, so we're going to have our profile interview, and it's going to be Kaz Naidu. I don't know if you remember Kaz Naidu, but she'll be in studio with us. She's a former cricket commentator as we celebrate Women's Month. And we kick it off here. On Thursday, we were out celebrating SOPA, the State of the Province, with the Premier of the Province. And then on Friday, as anticipated, the Mayor of Johannesburg was sworn in, and he very gracefully agreed to come into studio. In fact, he tweeted earlier on, lots of you had many, many questions, so we can kick it off immediately. 086-000-0959. You can send those WhatsApp notes as well on 063-688-0959. Let me welcome the newly appointed Mayor of Johannesburg. Mayor Dada Morero, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Pimela. Good evening again.
When you took your oath, you called yourself Silo. So maybe we're going to... There was no Dada there. So I'm going to say Dada Silo Morero, Mayor of Johannesburg. Because next time you'll say, no, I didn't take an oath as Dada. Who's that? Well, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much,
Pimela. And congratulations. Second time lucky, I suppose.
Well, lucky. Second time lucky.
With a lot of responsibilities, it's nothing new to you. You know the challenges that are faced by the city. You've also, anyway, fortunately, you are not outside of council. You are always within, so you understand the challenges. You spoke a bit about challenges and failures, and essentially beginning with apologizing to the residents and saying you're going to do better.
Well, we thought it is important to say where we have failed. It is important to apologize. Secondly, it's important to then say, what is it that the citizens would like us to improve on? And one of the issues we pointed out was the fact that, in fact, the residents of Johannesburg are not asking too much of us. They're basically asking for the basics, that water must be there, roads must be tarred, traffic lights must work. So those are the basics. And of course, we have to improve on the quality of the services that we provide. If we say on Wednesday we are doing your waste collection, we must be there on Wednesday. It shouldn't be a Friday. We must be there on a Wednesday. So the quality of work and services that we provide, we must improve on them. So where we have mistake, we have not done well, that the residents also comment and help us to do better. And that's the approach we want to take.
You are obviously sitting in finance, so you understand major problems as the city is facing financially. You've had to get a loan. Council agreed to that because there were major challenges. Because the city is struggling financially, I'm not sure there's much you can do to add to the budget. I mean, it is. It's a zero-based budget. You probably have to look very closely at where you can do better in spending that money, or maybe reviewing some contracts, maybe where there is wasteful expenditure. What does that look like, that process?
Yeah, well, where we are, the finances, we are comfortable that they are okay. Would have loved them to be at a 90% collection as opposed to the 86-88 where we are. Secondly, we have also established quite clearly that, in fact, the main problem that we're experiencing is our expenditure, which is quite too high when it shouldn't be. Now, we've given ourselves a period of time to try and reduce the expenditure. Now that we've understood the challenges within the expenditure, I mean, there's a lot of spending which it shouldn't be. We've also understood that some of the what we're paying for, we shouldn't be paying for at that price. Mm-hmm. Now, that is why we're implementing that system. We now have a proper system to help us to manage the pricing and check what are the normal prices in the market against what the suppliers are bringing forward. So it will then help us to reduce our spending. And prioritization of projects, which we have already done during our budget adjustment in January as part of the work towards reducing the spending and ensuring that we can adjust the budget much better. You'd know that we'll be doing another adjustment in January. It could be down or up. depending on whether the program of addressing expenditure we have succeeded, the program on increasing our collection, whether we have succeeded. So those are some of the things that we'd be doing to try and help us to perform better. But where we are, we think our finances has stabilized, but it's not at the level at which we'd have wanted them to be.
It's never easy reviewing contracts, as from what you're saying, you're going to have to look very closely at where you are overpaying some suppliers, and you're going to have to review that. It's probably going to come at a cost. What are your options there?
Well, there's an exercise that we'd have to do and confirm, and based on that exercise, we'd know that. But here, we have to go back to the suppliers and say, we're not agreeing with you here. We think this is what should happen. And they'd have to adjust themselves. So basically, unless those would want to go to court, then we will go to court with them. It does happen in the normal practice of doing business that you can go back to your suppliers and say, but here we're paying higher than what we should be paying. Can there be a reduction of the services that you already providing? So we will be doing that type of work.
You've called upon many stakeholders to be part of the solution of Johannesburg, not just yourselves, local government, provincial, national, as well as the citizens and civil society. Civil society, as you know, recently has been quite critical of the city, but they've also said they have reached out and the city's non-responsive in some of the solutions that they feel could be easy pickings. They say, for instance, with infrastructure problems, they can help with securing those infrastructures, whatever facilities, without payment by the city. Is that something you're aware of?
Well, we did have one session with civil society wherein they invited political parties in council. In the main, it was the Joburg civil society something. I think it's led by Sean Bolton and Ishmael Mkabela, wherein they invited us, we engaged with them, and we agreed with them that there'll be follow-up discussions and engagement. So where we are, we've taken stakeholder engagement as an important aspect that we need to focus on. And I think in the next few weeks, we'll be engaging with civil society organization. We're also saying business would want to engage with them. Already some of the banks have indicated that, look, let's have the conversations and see how we can contribute. Some of the ratepayers associations have also extended a hand to say, can we partner, especially around parks? As you know, we have one or two programs that we started early this year with ratepayers association to protect the parks, ensure that the parks are accessible to the communities and all that stuff. So partnerships are critical for us to succeed as local government with communities, with civil society, and of course with our provincial and national government through the district development model that will help us to at least try and get some of the projects moving even faster. And of course, our ambition right now is to turn Johannesburg into a construction site. And we have to do that. We have no choice by creating and bringing investments, unlocking the land, some of the land that we own, so that we can unlock it and make it available to private sector developments. So that is our focus now. We want to create Johannesburg into a construction site. Why do we want to do that? We want to ensure that we contribute towards growth in the economy, and which will then translate into job creation and creation of entrepreneurs, because we're very focused on creating black entrepreneurs, and that will be the program that we'll be focused on. So that it's not just jobs, but it's creating business people or entrepreneurs in our township.
Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that, in that plan of creating entrepreneurs within the townships?
We went back, we're going back to a program that we implemented in 2014, 2015, who had called it Josie at Work. The intention of Josie at Work was to create entrepreneurs so that these entrepreneurs can share in the service delivery model or in the service delivery budget, whether CAPEX and OPEX, so that they can then do some of the projects locally. So that's what we're trying to do. Unfortunately, in 2016, with the loss of power, it was stopped. So we want to bring those co-production programs which we think have a potential to benefit our communities. Because remember, we're in control of our budget, we're in control of our capital budget, so let's use our capital budget to turn around the economy, create better economic activity, and create necessary entrepreneurs. So we're going back there. We may not call it Josie at Work, we may find another different name so that it can resonate with our own communities. So that's what we're going to do. We're not going to shy away from using our budgets to ensure that we can empower as many people as possible. And I'll make a typical example. When APML, you'd know that we're probably spending in the region of just around 20 million or so just to dislodge toilets. It could actually be more. And when in fact we can create entrepreneurs right there in an informal settlement, and they will then be responsible for dislodging of toilets as opposed to one company, one truck somewhere coming. So that's what the co-production model speaks to, and would want to do that.
So It's a fine balance. One of the arguments, for instance, when we've had conversations, even not necessarily with you, but the mayor, previous mayor, and this is not just him, but other council members in Johannesburg. For instance, people talk about filth in the city of Johannesburg. And the truth of the matter is that actually there is removal of waste in the, it's the truth. If you go in the morning, you do find people working in the city of the of Johannesburg. Except that at about 12 o'clock, that whole picture has changed. And of course, when people experience a changed picture, they think it was never done in the first place. But every day, there are people who clean the streets of Johannesburg. Yes. It's a fine balance between what you are able to do, what you do do, and also balancing the fact that you probably as a city need to do something about bylaws and managing that what happens during the day when people either are throwing litter from their windows illegally so, or they are hawkers who are not abiding by the bylaws. In fact, even owners of shops, sometimes I've seen them literally throwing out stuff into the drains themselves, not just hawkers. How are you going to capacitate what needs to be done? Because law enforcement is required everywhere in the city of Johannesburg.
No, Pumelo, thanks for the question. In fact, you'd know that we have come to a realization that we need to do bylaw enforcement aggressively. And we believe through bylaw enforcement we'll be able to deal with a lot of problems, not just in the inner city, in Bramfontein, and everywhere else. Now, bylaw enforcement will help us also to enforce a particular behavior and a particular culture, because part of the problems may be just behavioral and conduct of individuals within the inner city, whether the street traders or business owners around the city and the citizens themselves or residents in the inner city. So we think by enforcing bylaws, will be able to address even by behavioral patterns. But the program has to be long-term. It can't be a 2 weeks interventions and we leave. We also need to mobilize civil society, because at times we do certain interventions and people go to court and we lose it in the courts. So it's an important aspect of engagements with other sectors in society to understand why certain things need to happen. So we have taken a view that in the next few weeks we'll be engaging robustly with the JMPD, but not just only JMPD, the officers themselves, so that we talk to the conscience of the officers to say, look, we have to save our city. They must go an extra mile in protecting our city. So there will be a roadshow that we'll be doing to try and get them on board.
Yeah.
But we agree with you, Pumelo, we need the support of civil society. Mm. We need business to play a particular role. There's a number of institutions in the city, whether it's property owners and so on and so on. So we'll be engaging with them quite robustly to say, guys, it's time that you contribute actively. Mm-mm. It can't just be that government alone must try and find this solution. It can. But over and above is rethinking the inner city. The inner city where you used to go and enjoy movies is no longer the same. Mm. Now we have to rethink how we position the inner city, addressing the residential, a bit of commercial, and what does it mean? So we then said we need to have a proper concept that responds to the inner city. Because the Joburg of today is not that Joburg when it was started in 1880-something, 1886, and it was not meant to even absorb this bigger population. So we have to then rethink how we want to reposition the inner city. There are suggestions that we have, but we need to package them properly. And in packaging them, we'll then need national government and provincial government, including the private sector, to come on board to help us. For example, we may want to say the outer part of the inner city requires massive residential. And in that, you then address your waiting list of 96, 97, and 2000. Because it can't always be that we must go and look for free land to build when, in fact, we've got massive buildings that are underutilized. Some are even hijacked in the inner city, which some are also owned by the city of Johannesburg, which we can turn them into RDP flats. But it requires us to put that into proper documents, and then we can begin to act. So I hope that we can do those things quicker.
So there are things. Kenny Kunene was here when he was sworn in the first time as MMC of transport. And one of the things he promised the residents was quick turnaround. You will have traffic law enforcers on the street. And he promised other things, which I think will take time. But, I mean, for us, a low-hanging fruit would be Winnie Mandela Road drive, which is so obvious to everybody, but is constantly without traffic lights. Not because the city does not fix them, but because every night somebody comes there and fidgets and fiddles because it's profitable for them not to work. Somebody needs to take responsibility about how, you know, you have an entire street which is now owned by what, I'm not sure whether they're homeless or whether these are just, they're now traders on the streets because the robots don't work, I'm not sure. But clearly something has to be done there. It's a busy street, it's an important street when you talk about the economy, but it cannot be that when you're on that drive, it takes an extra hour for you to move from one part of the city to another because people are fidgeting and nobody seems to be doing anything about those people.
It goes back to the question of enforcement, which I've spoken to earlier. So we'll have to strengthen the hotspots and say how to ensure that JMPD can be visible. Mm. But at the same time, we need to make a call.
Yeah.
We can't have infrastructure being vandalized.
Every day.
So that call must continue to be made.
I'm going to take a quick break and I'm going to also come back with your calls. I see them and your tweets. I'm going to take also your voice notes when I get back. Mayor of Johannesburg is in studio with us today to answer all your questions. He's coming back, fresh blood, more energy, more energized. We are going to abuse him. He's allowed us to do that. Let's take your calls on 086-000-00959. Thokozani, you've been patient. Good evening and welcome.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Thokozani?
Right. I don't have a question for the mayor. I have a plea, a request, a cry. The city center, Mr. Mayor, and the roads are a disgrace. They are potholed on the streets. There's water flowing down the streets of Johannesburg. The street lights, I think 80% of the street lights in the city center, they are not working. Mr. Mayor, please do something. It's a shame. Please do something. Thank you.
All right. Tell us any sweet and short, Mayor.
I think that it's a good concern that some of us are also aware of it. And I think we have a responsibility to respond. And in responding, it means we need to mobilize the necessary resources. And some of the things may also need us to begin to be innovative and bring innovation into how we treat traffic and how do we treat road construction within the inner city. So, and perhaps we need to go back to a program we used to call the Complete Streets Program. So I'll be bringing it back to try and respond to some of these challenges, because some of the streets you don't really need actual tar. You just need to be very flexible and smart and innovative. So, but Thokozani, I do take his point, which is going to help us a lot.
Kaya, you're Clive calling in from Johannesburg. Clive, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Hi, to the mayor.
Hi, Clive. Hi, welcome. Clive.
Yes, I'd like a quick response to the mayor while he's still on here. So regarding the cemeteries in Joburg. Okay, specifically, I'll talk about the ones in the township, especially Avalon Cemetery. It seems like it's been neglected. There's no longer the fencing which was used to be there. I can give you an example. There's this one, Toronkop, which is still in the deep sewage nest, but you still for all those years, Toronkop has been, it still has this barricade fencing. But the one there in Avalon is no longer there, and it's no longer even safe. I can tell you people are being robbed each and every week. You understand? So the problem that we are having is that people are being robbed ever since that same thing at Avalon is no longer there. So even some of us, we are scared to go there, but you know it's a place that we have to go and visit. But we can't lately because of the robberies which are happening there. And we have, and I've seen the other things, like they've done a barricade fencing, but they have done them at the offices, at the cemetery. So what about the whole area there? That's what I'm saying. The whole area has been neglected there. So it's like it seems like those who are working in the office are the only ones who are supposed to be safe there at Avalon. What about the rest of the community which is coming there to visit?
Thank you, Clive.
I don't know if the mayor can answer, then I can quickly ask him something.
All right, go ahead, mayor.
Yeah, thanks, Clive, for your question. You'd know that we did build a wall at quite a high cost, but the wall was vandalized so quickly. So the point you're making, it's important for us because we need to say, how do we deal with security at Avalon? We do have security officers on the ground, but possibly they are not sufficient to deal with Avalon because it's quite a big area. So we'll have to see, because remember the costs also associated are quite high. We're also alive to the fact that Avalon is almost full. It's actually full, and we are on a program to try and beautify Avalon, increase security and increase fencing to an extent at which the type of fencing you're going to do should not be easy for vandals to destroy and break it. So it's a program we're going to do, and we think we'll be able to raise sufficient resources to do so. And we may also call on our communities in Soweto in particular to also contribute towards helping us to do this beautification program, so that communities must also play a role in as far as supporting their own government, because there's no any other resource we can be able to raise money for cemeteries. It's money that we take from, in the main, from our rates and taxes, which may not be sufficient. We only raise about 16 billion a year on our rates and taxes, but we need an extra income to be able to deal with some of the projects. But I think communities can also contribute. But it's a good point, and we are aware of that point.
Clive, you have another point to make?
Yeah, if the mayor's already alluded that there is a plan, we did ask, man, because of, you know, when we sometimes we have problem, that's the first place that you'll be told you have to go and visit. So if we can't visit those places because of lack of security, but the only thing that I've realized, it has started to be a problem going there since the fencing which was there was stolen. So if we can concentrate probably on having at least the fencing on Avalon, then some of your problems will be sorted. Thanks, and all the best going forward.
Thanks, Clive. Mayor, we understand you obviously have JMPD. But you don't have enough capacity. You'd need support from the province, from national, from SAPS. What are the problems between JMPD and SAPS? Often we hear that they don't coordinate things together. When the one tries to do a raid, then the other doesn't support the other. You know, you call on civil society, business and everybody to support the city. Why are there tensions between the SAPS and JMPD?
Well, I may not be aware. I might have to go back to understand from the leadership of JMPD because I was only focused on finance.
Sure, of course.
Now that I've taken a different responsibility, then I would have an engagement with the leadership of JMPD, including the provincial commissioner, because nothing stops us from engaging with the provincial commissioner. So we've got almost 6 million people. Yeah. What is our plan to police Johannesburg? So we will certainly take that matter to attention.
I've got a voice note coming through.
Good evening to the mayor. Good evening, Pamela, and to the Kaya listener. I've got two questions. The first being, you know, because we've had so many different mayors within just the last 10 years, how are we going to ensure stability this time? How are we going to ensure that, you know, the coalition partners are not going to wake up and say the mayor is not sufficient and then we need a new one? Secondly, the issue of hijacked buildings, I understand that with the law, it's very difficult to evict, you know, people just like that. It's a process, I get that. But is there a targeted approach or a program of some sort to have these the hijacked buildings in particular sorted out?
I think in the last 6 months, we're able to win court cases to take over 6 buildings in the main. Because what we did was to change our strategy from eviction to relocation.
Yes.
Which made it easier for the courts to accept. So we are now focused on relocation as opposed to evictions. And it's helping us to win court cases. So we are doing some work in as far as reclaiming. And these 6 buildings, I think by now, they are ready to be put out there for private investors to take them over, and they can renovate them in whichever way, whether residential or commercial. So there's a program to start giving those buildings away. So already the 6 are already in the pipeline. So that's what we're going to do. Secondly, we are also going to, as part of the enforcement, I might not have mentioned, is to emphasize on the JMPD 10 plus. And the intention is to have at least 10 officers per ward or critical wards where we're experiencing high levels of lawlessness and so on and so on, so that there's proper visibility throughout the ward to help us to reduce on lawlessness and non-compliance to the law.
I've got a call coming through, Percy in Omonde. Good evening and welcome, Percy.
Good evening, good evening, our newly elected mayor. I wanted to speak to commend them, particularly around the program of Josie Edward. You know, because we need to reactivate our local communities, particularly around the townships, because that's where those are the areas that are economically depressed. And, you know, we need to bring new, innovative ideas so that the youth around those areas are then part of active entrepreneurs, you know, towards development of the city. That's what I wanted to commend them about. Thanks.
Mayor, your response to that?
Well, I think the caller is really supporting the
What
we normally call co-production. It's an important aspect of trying to grow the economy and try to create entrepreneurs in the main, especially in your township, so that there's opportunity given to young people and they can play a role in the economy of service delivery by participating in whether closing potholes, etc., etc. So I think thanks to the caller, just giving us more confidence to do better.
You spoke a little bit about relocations, and they've been effective but have presented new problems.
Yes.
Because now you have people who've been relocated to areas that were supposed to be temporary, but those processes are taking a bit of time. And, you know, you now have others who are saying, but we've been in the queue for a long time. Here there are people who've just been relocated and immediately were allocated shelter, whatever kind of shelter it is. And then you've got others who are saying, we've been on the waiting list since 1994.
Yes.
And who gets the to be prioritized as the city, as national? We now know that the national list is also being corrupted. All of those things causing problems in Alex and in other places as well.
Pimelo, my priority in the collective will be the 96-97 waiting list.
Mm.
Get to 98-2000, because that should be the priority.
Mm.
Now, what has happened over time is that those who might have even contributed towards breaking the law were prioritized. So I think we have to be firm as a leadership.
Mm.
Say, from now on, we are going to complete the waiting lists, and we are not going to be intimidated by those that break the law and think that they can jump the queue. So we are going to be very firm and address those who have been patiently and respecting the law, waiting for us to respond. And hence I said some of the weaknesses was probably government looking at land portions as opposed to using what we already have in the inner city to address the waiting list. Because a lot of people could then move from the waiting list into the inner city. And some of them work there in any case.
Yeah.
So it might even be better for them because they'll have no transport costs going to work. So that is why we're going to focus on some of those buildings in the inner city to turn them into proper residential.
The program of allocating land as opposed to a building structure, which is a national program, are you going to be reliant a lot on provincial property land, or do you have enough vacant land as a city that you can start allocating?
Unfortunately, Johannesburg does not have.
Exactly.
Remember, we're very small in terms of size, and it's part of the land we have, some of it is dolomitic, which increases your costs if you have to build there. But in the south, through a program called the Southern Farms, we are going to build houses, but we are also going to give away service stands for those that have capacity to build in the waiting lists, and they will go then build for themselves.
Mm.
So we are looking at a mixture of options to address the housing problem for people, including social housing.
Yeah.
It's one of an important aspect to help us deal with the housing backlog. It's quite huge, probably sitting now at about 300,000 in terms of the backlog on housing, and we have to move with speed to try and reduce it as much as possible. But we're also partnering with other institutions who are even saying we can also use the backroom systems to try and reduce the housing backlog. So we have to use as much as we can different options.
Things change along the way as you manage the city. You've just spoken about a backlog of an existing list that needs to be cleaned up and all of that. But there are people who have been allocated homes in a program that the city had through Joshko, whether it's flats or whatever type of housing, where they were paying a particular minimum rate that the city required. And then they find themselves unemployed because the economy changes and all of that. They themselves needing to come out of that to go into a different kind of a list. Often those are very difficult conversations in that bracket of people who are now falling off what would be the missing middle to now a very poor indigent family, and the negotiations thereof, and what happens with the city evicting them because they're no longer paying, but they still are the responsibility of the city. Let's talk to us about how we're going to manage the smooth transition of those people, because we all know the economic situation of the country.
True. Well, Pimela, it might not be the city's view at this stage, but my view, which will relate to one, you'd realize that it's not only those in social housing, there's also those in bonded houses, which I've always argued that the bank then repossesses the house and this person has paid and probably the shortfall is about 40,000.
We've seen less. We've seen a shortfall of 400 rand, and the bank takes it.
And I think we need to change and work with the banks, because for you to come into the beneficiary list of government, we are spending about 180,000 to build an RDP house, and your bond was only short 40K.
Yeah.
So what do we do? We need to start thinking better and bring better solutions to respond to smaller challenges.
Mm.
Because in my own view, government and the banks could work together.
Mm.
And instead of bringing you into the indigent, we pay off your bond.
Mm.
You have demonstrated you are a citizen. You have paid your dues. You have paid your taxes. So let's think. And the banks must also play part and partner with government, because there's no need, in my own view, to repossess a person who's owing 40,000 after paying 15,000 of the bond. The banks should play a particular role together with government to avoid increasing your indigent waiting list.
I think, Mayor, that's such an interesting point you make about the responsibility of the bank, because sometimes whatever the amount is, the bank itself would authorize a purchase of a ridiculous amount of money by either one of the employees or a customer, where clearly the property is not worth 100,000 rand, but someone authorizes that through an auction to say, okay, done, you're taking it for 1,000 rand and it's finished. Of course, leaving the one who's losing a home with bigger debt and the one that the bank is insuring to get the home with like 1,000 rand or so, which is just, you know, there's just injustice in that.
And remember, Pimer, it's not just that. You contributed to homelessness. You contributed to social ills. You're contributing towards children not finding themselves and not functioning properly, which contributes to them not performing well in school and all sorts of things. So we need to come together and give solutions that are friendly to our own people.
Quick call from Prince in Joburg CBD. Hello, Prince. Prince, good evening and welcome.
I'm fine. Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Yep, go ahead, Prince.
Yeah, I want to ask about a targeted security officers that were left behind in 2018, 2019, while Mashaba was still a mayor. So in that time, they did put us on the system. We did apply for that job. They promised us that in a short of time, they will hire us and work again. So until now, so I want to ask the mayor that can that job is still available for us, or we will no longer get that job.
Mayor, you didn't hear that. Should we ask Prince? Please just repeat your question, please, Prince. Please, my brother.
Okay, I want the mayor to confirm that as security officers that were left behind during Mashaba in Soti in 2018-2019. So as we've been left behind, we did apply for that post. They did put us in the system or database. So I want the mayor to confirm that will be absorbed, or it will end up like this. Because,
all right.
You know, it's been such years.
Thanks, Prince. We got that. Thank you so much. Thanks for your patience, Mayor.
Unfortunately, Pimela, I'll be frank and honest with Prince. There was an investigation into that insourcing, and it was confirmed that the files of those that were absorbed had a lot of irregularities, but it was also confirmed that the number insourced is the number that the security companies had brought forward.
Mm.
Now, I'm not sure at this stage where the report is, but my understanding was that there was a report and there was a close-up of that report on the insourcing, and there's no intention to insource any further of those securities. So I'll just have to be frank and honest. However, I must note that there's a number of people like Prince who have also questioned why they've not been absorbed, because they believe at that time they were in the system.
Yeah.
So I would have to go back also and satisfy myself of the report itself.
There's another one. It says, I think it's Bonnie. Bonnie says, good evening, Pamela and Mr. Mayor. We were in the Roadworks Maintenance and Construction Skills Program in June 2023 and were paused since October 2023. And we were told that they will call us back. Till this day, we're still waiting. Is the program going to continue?
Roadworks. Probably it's a JRA program.
I think so.
May I then be given an opportunity to go and check what is it, and then we can respond back to the caller. Of course, you'll give us the details,
sure.
And the team will take the details.
All right. I think this is Sabata. Sabata is saying, good evening, Pamela and the mayor. Please ask the mayor, what is his plan to deal with the 55.4% youth unemployment in the city? That's the first question. The second one is, what is the plan to deal with drugs in the townships? And totally depressing to see young people abused by drugs. You addressed the unemployment,
yes.
in your speech, youth unemployment. Maybe just go ahead and address it.
Part of it is to be resolved through our programs on co-production, but we also admit that it can be a city's program alone. We require the private sector also to open up and reinvest their profits for them to help us to do that. There are a number of drug and substance abuse programs that we have through our social development, so we just have to get communities participating. We must also try and intensify on those drugs and substance abuse programs.
Mayor, we've got two voice notes coming through.
Good evening, Pimelo and the mayor. I think the mayor is, they are just doing a PR exercise. I'm driving a Bolt. We'll find them like Delvas, maybe on Thursday. They'll come and close shops. Then after they left, those shops open again. They do that again after a week or so. These people, they don't care about the country. Actually, the Joburg, it's gone. It's no longer that. They must forget. You can't revive something that is dead. The Joburg is dead. They know that they killed it. They might try and do a PR job. It's dead. It's them that killed the Joburg, no one else.
Hi, Pimelo and the mayor. I mean, my concern is one actually concerns the JMPD. They've got this thing of passing illegal connection of electricity. Actually, one, before it's been started, they can see that in this place there are no wires. But on a daily basis, metros are passing there, going to work. Now they can see that there are wires. But there's nothing that has been done. I don't know, do they report to City Power to say there are illegal connections or what, you know, but then they leave it like that and they go there every day, they pass there going to work and back.
All right. Just to wrap it up, you'll sum it up with the two points here. As the ANC, and when you review, and I know today there was, from Friday, there's been conversations with the province, I think Saturday in Boksburg, about what happened in the province. Does the ANC regret placing what we would call an interim mayor? Because nonetheless, everybody still blames the ANC for the problems in the city, even if the mayor was not the ANC's mayor. But you know that. Everybody still thinks the ANC calls itself the leader of society, and they do. They still say, it's your fault as the ANC. You know that we are here because of you, even though the ANC did not have a mayor in position.
We are responsible for the decisions that we make, and you'd know that the decision were based on the fact that ourselves and the EFF, in formation of a coalition, could not find each other as a result of the Ekurhuleni and the Joburg situation, and we then agreed that whilst we are debating and discussing, in the meantime, there will be a mayor for minority parties. So it was a product of coalition arrangements. But it is important to note that ANC as a leader of society, it has been bleeding, and I think the results of the elections are indicating the decline. Now, we have a responsibility as an organization to refocus ourselves, address weaknesses that society have raised, and try to do better as we move forward and doing better. It's issues like the one raised, is Joburg dead?
Yeah.
Why is it dead? We contributed towards that. So let's go in then and fix Johannesburg. Whether we have to deal with jobs, let's go and do that and increase in digital economy and all other economies to be able to create as much jobs as possible. So we will have to focus.
And the point I was making is that of course, we know exactly what happened. It was because of the breakdown while you were negotiating the coalition. But nobody says the ANC and the EFF led us to where we are. You know, they say the ANC led us to where we are. So, you know, people in this job, in this province and in the city are going to be hard on the ANC. We look forward to giving you a harder time.
We do expect that as the ANC, that the people must be hard on us. People expect high levels of performance from the ANC. So, in fact, we won't shy away. We have to confront those things, respond. And where we're unable to do it, we must come back and communicate and say, we can't do this thing because these are the problems, these are the challenges. We don't have sufficient resources to do so. As opposed to me, to us coming out and say, we are going to beautify Avalon when we know we don't have the necessary resources, but we can go back to the communities of Soweto and say, can every household also contribute a certain amount to help us beautify, because majority of us do have loved ones who have been laid to rest at Avalon, so that we also help government. Some of you are now using private cemeteries and no issues, so let's contribute to beautify Avalon. In fact, it's an important project. So we can't just keep saying we will do it. Where we can't, we must say we can't, and these are the challenges, and we're also requesting residents and communities to contribute and help government to go through.
Joburg Water, City Power are direct at the cold face of our interaction with the city, and they're struggling with infrastructure because it gets vandalized. It just cannot carry us anymore. We are growing, we have bigger needs, we are not paying. We are now have load reduction. We are told obviously there's no load shedding anymore, but load reduction still remains an issue. What's the plan?
Look, we are raising an infrastructure fund, especially on water. We have already started. So with every budget allocation or the money that we collect from you, 1% is now ring-fenced to help us with...
Ring-fenced is the key word.
Yeah, so that it helps us with the maintenance of infrastructure. The reality is that our losses are huge. Especially with water sitting at about 40% as a result of illegal connection, pipes that are not proper, bursting pipes, etc., etc. So we have to reduce that for us to realize revenue from or revenue surpluses from our water and electricity. Even electricity, we're experiencing the same problems, mainly illegal connections. So what do? From time to time, we go out on an aggressive cutoffs, we go out on aggressive disconnections for illegal connections. But we're also saying to balance that, we must create microgrids, especially in the informal settlements, so that we can provide them electricity through the sun or through solar, so that we reduce on illegal connections. Because between 7 and 5, they will then be guaranteed some form of electricity. And we can then try how we balance them getting back into the grid between a certain period and a certain time. And that will require us also looking at options of prepaid and electrification of informal settlements, so that you try and save people from forcing them to be illegally connected. So those are the options that we have put in place. And in fact, the Minister of Electricity has been raising some of these things with Johannesburg, and they're also looking at best possible ways to also assist municipalities to be able to provide electricity even to the poor of the poorest.
They want you back. Can you come back? Everybody wants to still ask you many questions. They want you back, Mayor. You're going to have to make some time for us again.
Time
because
for you anytime,
we have run out of time, but
thank
I really
you so
appreciate
much.
You making time for us. Thank you so much, Mayor, and all the best. It's going to be a tough one, but we're obviously always here to give you an ear. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mayor of Johannesburg, Dada Morero.
you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.